Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome back. Fantasy Football Weekly, I'm Paul Charchian. My co-host, as always, Brian Johnson, almost always.
Those other guys are still, Matt and Fish are still alive.
They're alive. You wouldn't know, but no. Yes, exactly. They've shunned us over here. We miss those guys.
Carrying those two around on my shoulders.
I know, all offseason.
Taking a toll on the old knees.
I think we're going to get some Matt Harrison in about 3 weeks.
I would hope so.
That's my guess.
People miss Matt. I know some people are like getting tired of me, but there are a lot of crazy people out there.
Honestly, I'm pretty tired of you.
Ditto. Feelings mutual, but
we're running down rookie running backs. Last week's show was all about rookie quarterbacks, the landing spots, dynasty value, and how long do you think it's going to take them to emerge into fantasy relevancy? Mm-hmm. And we're going to break down the first 14 running backs taken in the draft. So it's going to be a little bit breezy. You know, we can't do like a half hour deep dive on every guy, but we'll talk about the landing spots for all of the notable rookie running
backs.
It'll
be a top heavy show as we go down the list.
It falls off fast.
It gets a little less interesting. But
I'm really intrigued by the first five guys.
Yeah.
And after that, I think most of these guys are going to need to have something a little special happen before they've got a chance.
Dart throw central.
Maybe.
It's really dynasty talk, but it's relevant for sure.
It is. So we're going to hit these players in the order they were taken, beginning with Najee Harris. Some people thought that he could go near the bottom of the first round. Most people thought the earliest he could possibly go was pick 24 to the Steelers, and that's where he ended up going. I thought this was a bad move by the Steelers, who rolled into this draft with the league's worst offensive line, didn't address it really at all meaningfully in the draft, and took a first-round running back when there's so much data out there that shows you don't need first-round running backs. But anyway, now Najee Harris is there. He brings a very complete skill set to the Steelers, Brian.
Yeah, and like you said, in most cases, ground game success starts in the trenches and not really with the running back. And like you said, the Pittsburgh offensive line, pretty bad.
Garbage.
Basically one of the worst in the league. Najee Harris, arguably the top running back prospect in the draft, but as good as he is, can he succeed behind that awful, awful Swiss cheese offensive line? So we'll find out, but as you were mentioning, Najee Harris has it all. He's not only a unit, an absolute unit of a man. He can move. He can catch the ball, run around you, run through you, run by you. And he's walking into a backfield with Benny Snell Jr., Anthony McFarland, and Kalen Ballage.
I like his chances of emerging.
He's going to be the bell cow, but it all comes down to that offensive line, like you said, and it's going to be one of the bottom units in the league this year. And for that reason, Harris, I mean, if he was going into the Steelers of old, just, you know, the line was money, and he was walking into this workload.
The Le'Veon Bell era offensive line, it'd be a different story.
We'd be talking top seven running back in redraft.
Yes,
we would. But right now, he's certainly in the redraft conversation. He's in, you know, running back 15 range. He's going right after the Antonio Gibsons, DeAndre Swifts of the world, right with J.K. Dobbins, Miles Sanders. So he's going to get the work. He's going to touch the ball at least 20 times a game, 20 to 25 times a game, and it's just a matter of how well that line holds up in front of him. When it comes to dynasty, his ADP is right around 1.5 in one quarterback leagues. Because in Superflex, you're taking Trevor Lawrence or maybe Trey Lance.
Yep.
But Harris or Pitts is arguably the top skill position player going off the board, or maybe Ja'Marr Chase or another running back we'll talk about soon. But that's right where Harris is, and that seems safe, but better years are probably ahead as long as they solidify that line moving forward.
Yeah, I'm nervous about Harris this year. I believe the Steelers will be one of the big declining teams this season. I believe while you can't predict injury, I'm very nervous about Ben Roethlisberger getting injured behind that line. And the Roethlisberger that we saw last year was a noticeably worse version than the previous versions we had seen of him. And if he takes another incremental step backwards, I just think this whole Steelers offense could be in real trouble. So I've got some concern for Najee Harris. But he will be the week one starter. He will be the goal line back. Whatever there is to be had on the ground, Najee Harris will get.
Yeah, right in that RB15 range feels about right.
That does feel about
right. Ben's not aging like Tom Brady, that's for sure.
Nope. I think that's the drop-off is much more precipitous. All right, let's go to the second running back taken. Travis Etienne goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars in a surprise move because they had James Robinson, who was very productive last year, and yet they obviously seem to believe that they wanted some of the special talent that Etienne brings.
Yeah, the Jaguars struck gold with James Robinson, it appeared, in dynasty owners.
How about they did they strike gold? How about silver?
Silver still got some value. Yeah. They struck some Dogecoin. How about that?
Right,
we'll put it that way.
Sure.
But dynasty owners pushing, a lot of them went all in on James Robinson. This is the back for the next 3 or 4 years. But no, ETN comes in and really muddies up those waters. It's definitely not an ideal landing spot for him. With James Robinson in tow. But ETN is the total package. Good size, 5'10", 215, super fast, ran a 4.4 in the 40.
Yep.
NCAA's all-time leader, total games with a touchdown. He's awesome. But when it comes to redraft, arguably one of the worst landing spots he could have ended up in.
So you go to a team, and the Jaguars, a bad offensive line, a muddy backfield, a rookie quarterback, although we think Lawrence is going to be great, but there'll be some learning curve there.
Yep. And but still, ETN, shockingly, and I'm looking at best ball ADPs from the last 2 weeks post NFL draft. He's at RB23, right in the Chris Carson, Kareem Hunt, Javonte Williams, who we'll talk about in a second.
Yep.
That range. But James Robinson is going RB21, still before Travis Etienne, which when it comes to redraft,
yep,
feels about right. I think I'd rather.
Who's the starter next year for the Jaguars?
Well, they better hope it's Etienne with that draft capital, right? Mm-hmm. But you know what? Ideally, they probably wanted a good 50-50 platoon. They want James Robinson to keep playing at this level. Why would not?
I'm sure they do.
But when it comes to the starter, Etienne, but I don't think James Robinson just goes away entirely, do you?
Yes,
do you? All right.
I am in the vast minority who believes James Robinson is a middling NFL talent and Travis Etienne isn't. He's really good. And sooner or later, you need to go win games, get your best guys on the field, and Etienne will emerge out of that backfield. So, you know, most people are telling dynasty owners, you can draft Etienne for 2022. He'll be maybe a flex guy this year or a, you know, somebody you could start if you got an injury, whatever. I think Etienne at some point over the course of this season takes over the lead back role and moves Robinson into a change of pace role.
He's a guy I certainly like. If you have nowhere near a top 3-4 pick in your rookie draft, someone you just keep your eye on early in the season if the Etienne owner gets impatient to a slow start, a guy target buy low. But yeah, his future should be very bright.
The long-term future for Etienne should be very good, and the Jaguars do have some really special skill position opportunities. Receivers are basically three deep at receiver.
And they always give up a ton of points. Yeah, you got to love that from a fantasy football perspective.
Well, for the passing game, certainly. All right, the third running back taken, Javonte Williams lands in Denver. This might be the best landing spot for any of the big name running backs out of this draft.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, part of it is a little bit, how do you feel about Melvin Gordon?
Nah.
Melvin Gordon doesn't do much for me. And I think Javonte Williams is a pretty special back. He is a violent runner that welcomes contact and just leaves defenders battered and bruised, Brian.
Yeah.
Remarkable balance after contact. So he takes these big hits. Defender goes flying on these hits, and he only breaks a stride, like breaks half a stride, and he's just off and running again. He's got burst, acceleration, and way more than a big-bodied runner like him should have. And Javonte Williams led all of college football in broken tackles last year. He's just a bull, well-built, strong, and I really like his prospects of becoming the leader of that backfield sooner than later. Maybe not week one. It'll probably be more Melvin Gordon, but in all probability, Williams is going to play a role in week one. I mean, I don't think he'll be sitting on the bench. I think he's going to start the season at 5 to 7 touches a game, and he's going to end the season at 20 touches a game.
I hope he gets more touches than that to start the season, because he's the best running back on that team.
He is. As of right now. He is.
There is a outside chance, from what I've read, and it makes sense, is Mike Boone, who we know here in Minnesota, a very able running back who, if you're sitting on Mike Boone shares before the draft, you're feeling pretty good the backup. Well, yeah. I was in a deeper league, but there's a chance they cut Melvin Gordon and they just rolled Javonte Williams, Mike Boone.
Well, that would be perfect.
Yeah.
If that happens, Javonte Williams in redraft moves to the top of this list of running backs.
Yeah. I think he's my favorite running back in this class. It's tough to draft him over, but just when it comes to draft capital, where you get him a little later on in the first round rather than pick 4 or 5 with Harris and Etienne.
What happens if Aaron Rodgers is thrown in Denver?
Oh,
yeah. Just saying, you know, that whole offense would take a huge step up.
Cortland Sutton gets drafted in the first round at that point. He's the new Davante Adams, basically.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I know we're going off the rails here.
Let's go to the fourth running back off the board, and that was Trey Sermon, and I hated this pick. As much as I think the 49ers have made awesome moves the past several years, and I love the move up they made in the first round, Trey Sermon just doesn't move the needle for me, and I find this to be a confusing selection. I like a handful of things about his game. He does have good balance at the point of contact. I like some of the footwork and his start-stop ability. It pretty much ends there. He's not fast. He's a bit tall for the position, which gives defenders a big target to hit. He ran behind a fantastic offensive line and big offensive line at Oklahoma and then Ohio State. And mostly, I just think he's an average athlete, and he wasn't used much in the passing game. Everything about Trey Sermon feels like an NFL backup. And the 49ers put a third-round pick into him. And at the time, I had Trey Sermon pegged for like the 6th round.
Yeah.
I had him pegged as the 6th round. And to have him go that early, to me, was shocking. And he joins a horribly muddy backfield that rotates players in and out. And it's a terrible landing spot. And I couldn't be less interested in Trey Sermon.
Yeah, he's just another dude in that backfield with Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson, who are probably going to be better than Sermon, at least this year, and arguably next year. And then the 49ers, they signed Wayne Gallman before the draft. Mm-hmm. Why would you bother with that if you had any intent of picking a running back this early that they took Sermon? So, yeah, it, like you said, a perplexing move. So
it was. The 5th running back taken, and I believe, for me, you can feel free to disagree, Brian, I believe there are 5 really standout running backs in this draft class. The last one was Michael Carter. He is the other North Carolina running back besides Javonte Williams. Now, normally, when the same college program has got 2 running backs who gets drafted, it's a thunder and lightning, fire and ice kind of deal where one guy's the big guy and the other guy is the little guy. But that's really not the case this particular time, because Michael Carter, he's still got a relatively powerful body on him. He's 200 pounds. He's shorter at 5'8", but he's very well built. He runs unafraid. Not as big and heavy as Javonte Williams, who again is the power back, but still, I don't want Michael Carter to come across as a scat back, because he's not. Now, he does have fantastic footwork and shiftiness. His hip swivel just unlocks all of this elusiveness for him. He was a very hard target for defenders to get a clean shot at because he's so elusive. He's got a great jump cut. He's great in traffic, excellent vision. There were so many things I liked about him, and his top-end speed was fast. When he got into the open, he was outrunning cornerbacks. I'm like, jeez. Michael Carter's a good player. He slid to the 4th round, and I was shocked, and he ends up with the Jets. This is a sneaky good landing spot for him.
Yeah.
He's the best running back on roster, and he will end up as the day one starter. And so we talked about, you know, for each of these guys, how long until they become meaningful fantasy producers. I think Michael Carter can be a meaningful fantasy producer early in his rookie season.
Yeah, he's a guy, and we're in an Empire League together, and I shouldn't disclose this information, but I think you can't hurt me.
I can't.
I need running backs bad, and Carter is a guy with the 12th pick. The last pick is the
I don't think he'll be there.
I hope so.
I don't think so.
You don't?
Nope.
It'll be borderline. And when it comes to running backs from the same school, like you said, Javonte mm-hmm. Williams, Michael Carter from yeah. UNC, I'm always reminded of the 2005 draft epitomized by dual running backs from the same
Lawrence
school.
Lawrence Maroney.
No.
Okay.
Ronnie Brown went second overall.
I remember it well.
From Auburn to Miami, and then Cadillac Williams, fifth overall to the Bucs.
And as they turned out to both be not quite busts, but neither lived up to anywhere near the potential.
Well, Cadillac was like the epitome of a pump and dump. Because his rookie year, he went off. And then he was going first, second round the next year, and it was a total cliff dive.
All fell off.
Yep, all fell off. Ronnie Brown, he kind of hung around, but he never really popped off
either. No, isn't that funny? Yep. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the next seven running backs that were taken in this draft, maybe eight.
Won't talk as much about them.
No. In fact, some of them we're going to gloss straight over, including the next guy who I think will not have a meaningful career at the position.
Sounds good
to
me.
So that's what's coming up next.
All right.
Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchi and Brian Johnson with you. Guillotine Leagues opening up shortly.
It's GuillotineLeagues.com
for 2021 season. We've got some new stuff. We'll have a big new episode of the Chop podcast coming next week. If you're not a subscriber to the Chop podcast, please be sure to jump in, and we'll talk about all the new stuff for 2021.
Some might say it will be a super
episode. Yes.
Super season.
Yes. Yes.
Guillotine Leagues, right?
Ooh, can't wait. There's your tantalizing
teaser
there you go. For next week. Also in the fourth round, next up, the Vikings ended up making a selection that I did not care for.
I never even heard of the guy.
Yep. Kune Nwangu. Kune Nwangu for the Vikings, and we're going to only spend a minute on it. He was a reserve running back for the Cyclones, who's basically a return specialist. Elite athleticism and testing numbers, but he's just not a running back. You look at him and you can tell he's uncomfortable to position. He's not an instinctive runner. He doesn't anticipate. He does a ton of dancing. He's easily tackled when hit. He just needs open space, and he'll be a returner for the Vikings. So that's it on Kane Nwangu.
The next Dante Hall, the next return specialist.
Now, that's also in the fourth round, a player I'm much more excited about. And I don't love the draft spot, and we'll talk about it more, but the Patriots selected Ramondre Stevenson, and he is a freaking moose. He's huge.
He is a unit, and a guy we should have touched on when we showcased running backs a few weeks back. We did not. Out of Oklahoma, 6 feet, 231 pounds, the heaviest Patriots running back ever drafted under Bill Belichick. Probably the heaviest Patriots running back Bill Belichick has ever spoken to at this point. rare blend of size and speed. In 2019, he was on his way to being one of the top backs in all of college football. He had a marijuana suspension, clearly derailed his prospects that year, but still a very good 2020 last year for Stevenson, forced an average of 0.36 missed tackles per carry in 2020, according to PFF. Fifth best in college football, had 119 total touches last year, lost yardage on just four of them.
Wow. Yep, I love it.
He's a unit. He can move the line. Force at the goal line, scored on four of his six rushing attempts inside the six-yard line last year. He can also catch the ball.
Let me stop you right here on the goal line use. As people that have attended our fantasy football training camp in the Twin Cities in August know, I do a lot of research on what happens inside the 5-yard line. Nobody runs the ball inside the five more than Bill Belichick does. He loves running at the goal line.
Yeah,
and Ramondre Stevenson is built perfectly for it. Now, Damian Harris is really built well for it, too. He's another big back.
And what about Sony Michel?
Sony Michel might be off the team.
Yeah,
Sony Walkman, by the way. Let's get that straight.
And then James White, not going to take goal line touches. So it's really Damian Harris. That's like the roadblock.
That is the roadblock.
And I'm not too concerned with that.
I thought Harris looked pretty good last year.
He did at times. He certainly did. But he's not 6 feet and 231 pounds that can move like Stevenson. So
Stevenson,
I'm enticed.
It's unclear from a Dynasty Empire standpoint what the timetable is for him to become a startable fantasy prospect. But best ball, when I don't have to try to guess when he's going to, you know, which games are going to be, you know, the Belichick mind game stuff, you don't have to play that in best ball. You just figure Stevenson's going to end up with 6, 7, 8 goal line touchdowns over the course of the year, and I don't have to try to guess when it's coming.
Yeah, people are drafting him. He's RB 60. I mean, that's a late
6-0
in best ball. I mean, he's in the Marlon Mack range, you know, in the handcuff. Tevin Coleman for the Jets, like, maybe he's the starter. He's in that backup range.
I like him a lot more than that.
He's got way more upside than Marlon Mack. Well, Marlon Mack could have major upside. He's the starter. But you know what I'm saying here. Well, Stevenson could pay off as a first-round dynasty pick in a couple of years, or he could have been not worthy of a pick in any round. He's got that kind of just delta.
There's nobody left that we're going to talk about that has more fantasy upside than Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, in dynasty RB8 right now, early to mid-third, and I think that's worth the shot on him right there for sure.
The next running back that was taken was the misnamed Chuba Hubbard. He could have been Chuba Hubbard, and I'm really bitter about it. He goes to the Panthers. I'm lukewarm on him. You know, I think there's an opportunity, and he'll step in behind Christian McCaffrey and be the new Mike Davis in all probability.
Yeah, Chuba's an athlete, ran a 4.36 40-yard dash on his pro day. Former track star, literally, comes to pure speed. He's the fastest among all running backs in this draft class. He was third in yards after contact over the last two seasons.
And I like that for usually the fast guys are not yard after contact guys. And I do like that part of Chuba Hubbard's game.
But like you just said, he's behind Christian McCaffrey.
So that's right.
He's basically in handcuff territory, or he's draftable even if you don't own McCaffrey in redraft best ball. He's going before
Ramondre Stevenson.
Sorry, he's RB 60. Hubbard's more like RB 50 right now. But that's really because people sinking a ton of capital in CMC in the first round,
right? And then just taking the backup.
He's the handcuff.
Yeah.
You definitely want. I'm a little bummed because I was hoping Rodney Smith of Golden Gopher fame would have held on to that backup role, but
no,
it's true.
It doesn't look like it's going to happen. The next running back taken was Kenneth Gainwell, and he goes to the Eagles. And here's what you need to know about Kenneth Gainwell. He's basically this year's version of Lynn Bowden, who is a kind of a man without a position. He might be more of a slot receiver than he is a running back. For Kenneth Gainwell. Now, he's thinner than ideal. He's 5'11". He looks and runs like a track star. Although he doesn't have track star high-end speed, but that's how he runs, very upright. He does have solid burst. And unlike a lot of track star runners, they're very good vertically. Kenneth Gainwell has got some footwork and some lateral movement to him, not just a north-south runner, and has got a decent one-cut move. And he catches very well. He lined up at wide receiver from time to time at Memphis, and he's a guy that you could put out in the slot. Because he's smaller, he's not a great pass protection guy, and I think there's some limitations to his game, and I don't know that he's a natural running back. Opted out of the 2020 season, so we haven't seen him in a little while either. But the Eagles are always thin, and Eagles like to throw to their running backs. But they've got Boston Scott there who can catch. They got Miles Sanders who can catch. So they don't need to throw to Gainwell. I thought it was a little bit of a puzzling pick for them.
The ghost of Darren Sproles is still there, I'm assuming, running around.
Right. So I don't think Gainwell's really going to be much of a fantasy factor.
Nah, I'm not too excited.
Yeah, I'm not either. So let's go to the next player taken. We are now into the sixth round of the NFL draft. And that was Elijah Mitchell. Out of Louisiana.
Another running back.
Not LSU.
To the 49ers. Jeez.
I know. And this one is, he sort of checks all the boxes of an NFL runner, but he's just not special at anything. He's got an ideal running back build. He's 5'11", 218 pounds. He's got decent speed, decent burst, good footwork, but there's a lot of negatives with Elijah Mitchell, and we're in the sixth round. These guys are going to have warts. Weak competition that he ran against at Louisiana. It was not LSU. It was Louisiana. He runs high. He's averse to contact, and he ran behind a very good offensive line that opened some big holes for him, so he didn't have to learn to create off the dribble, so to speak, as a running back. So Mitchell joins this crowded backfield, and you know they're always hurt, so maybe there's an opportunity there. But I don't see drafting Elijah Mitchell except in the biggest of dynasty leagues.
Sounds good to me.
Next, Gary Brightwell goes to the Giants. You mentioned earlier Wayne Gallman was let go, and so there is some opportunity in the depth chart among the Giants. Tell listeners about Gary Brightwell.
I'm not going to tell them much.
Okay.
About Gary Brightwell out of Arizona. Stereotypical size for a running back, 5'11", 218. But really just a guy on paper. I mean, he's got skills, but he's backing up Saquon Barkley. And as of right now, backing up Devontae Booker, too. So he needs Barkley to go down to have any kind of relevance. And hopefully that doesn't happen. The world needs Saquon Barkley to play a full season. And if he's better than Devontae Booker, we'll find out. But basically not draftable in redraft. And if you're in Dynasty, he's RB 15, 16-ish. He's a late fourth, early fifth. Dart throw.
The next running back taken was Larry Roundtree III.
Not Roundtree, right?
Round. Thank
That's
you.
Round. No, you, round didn't, you didn't say.
Okay,
you,
good.
You
I said it right. Okay, wanna, good. All right.
I've always wanted to say Roundtree still. I'm like, no, it's just Round.
Yeah, I bet that at one point in his lineage, it was Roundtree, and then something happened. Because trees are usually fundamentally round.
Because in the song, it's.
You ever seen a square?
Is it you spin me right round?
Round.
There's no D, right? Right, round. Baby, round.
He goes to the Chargers. This is a bad landing spot in a backfield that's already replete with talent.
Yeah, Austin Eckler, who we love, who, by the way, in best ball, like RB10 right now. Bargain.
I'm
buying.
I've got him higher than that.
Way higher. I do, too. But then Justin Jackson's still around. Joshua Kelly showed he can play last year, especially at the goal line. So, yeah, Larry Roundtree falls fourth in the pecking order with the Chargers. Again, just another guy. An interesting stat, though, out of Missouri. Roundtree did finish his career as Mizzou's all-time leading rusher among running backs in yards and tied for most rushing touchdowns by running back for touchdowns. But I'm saying among running backs,
okay,
the rushing yardage and rushing touchdown records are held by
quarterback
Brad Smith. Remember him?
Wow, I
turned
do.
Wide
yeah.
receiver
yes.
for the Jets.
Yeah, right.
So he holds all the rushing touchdowns, all the rushing records. So I don't know. That kind of dumbs my excitement for Roundtree. He couldn't even break.
He couldn't break the record set by their quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm like, why is Brian setting up this stat so strangely?
I had to read it like three times when I read it too. I'm like, wait, this doesn't make. Okay. I see.
All right,
Eureka.
We only have a couple of running backs we're going to touch on.
Thank God.
Also, sixth round, Chris Evans goes to the Bengals. I don't like him much. He's a three-down back with decent hands. He's got a little wiggle to him. Generally takes good angles from defenders, but no remarkable NFL special traits. Lackluster speed. Ran behind a very good Michigan offensive line that opened up big holes. He got suspended due to academic reasons for the 2019 season and recorded only 16 carries over the past 2 years. So, Chris Evans does nothing for me, honestly. I think he looks like a career backup, and he will probably slot into the spot left over by Gio Bernard's departure from the Bengals, but I don't think he's going to get as much work as Gio was. The last running back we're going to talk about is Khalil Herbert.
Khalil Herbert.
Herbert.
Ground bear.
Yeah, ends up going to the Chicago Bears in the sixth round.
Oh, he is a ground bear after all.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, Herbert, when we did our running back show a few weeks ago, he was kind of projected to go higher
among
running backs.
Yep.
Out of Virginia Tech, led the ACC in combo yards last year, was fourth in yards after contact on rushes among all college football players, but he slid in the draft. It might have been because Virginia Tech had arguably the most dominant offensive line
in right,
football.
Yes,
so
that might be part of it.
They picked up the slack for Herbert. But, you know, the Bears, not an awful landing spot.
No.
Jury's still out on David Montgomery. Yeah,
what if Tariq Cohen's not himself after the ACL?
They do have Damian Williams now, but Yeah. Damian Williams is Damian Williams.
Speaking of ACLs.
But Herbert.
Damian Williams opted out. That was his deal.
Yeah,
he was an opt-out last year.
But yeah, now he's pretty much the, I would call him the backup over Tariq Cohen. But Herbert, no redraft value really, but, you know, he could work his way into significant touches through injury or just pure bad football out of David Montgomery. So I'd throw a dart on Herbert in the, you know, late fourth, fifth in Dynasty, but that's about it.
All right. Great job. Thanks for helping us break down the running backs. It's a top heavy group. We're pretty interested in Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams, Michael Carter. I'm not that interested in most of the rest of the guys outside of Ramondre Stevenson.
Please let Michael Carter be there.
Wouldn't that be nice if he falls to that spot? I don't think it's going to happen.
This isn't helping my cause, probably. But
This episode does not help your cause. We'll be back next week. We're going to break down wide receivers, the rookie wide receivers, a much stronger receiver class than a running back class. Lots of guys that have some short-term and long-term potential to help your fantasy team. We'll talk about receivers next week. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.